Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church today? What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Just a sweet presence of the Lord. And well, God is just good to us, isn't he? That's the only thing I know how to say. God is just good to us. And I love him so much for his goodness to me. And I know you appreciate his goodness to you. Why don't you take just a second, turn around, shake somebody's hand. Tell them this. God bless you, my precious brother or sister. Praise the Lord. Play some more of that song, boys. Feel his spirit this morning, don't you? You're glad you can feel that presence coming among us. I wouldn't trade that for everything in this world. The presence and the spirit of the Lord in your life, if you've got that touch, I'm going to tell you something. It's worth more than all the dollars that this room could hold if you can feel that touch in your life. Because there's thousands and millions and billions of people that don't have that touch of the Master on their life. What makes you any different? You're kind of like that old violin. We all are. When they had it in the auction house, it was dusty. The strings was out of tune. It was probably in bad shape. $2 or $3, $4 or $5 maybe was all it's worth. But then the master violinist wiped it off, tuned it up, rosined up the bow and began to play a song. And then the auctioneer said, who'll give me 10,000? Who'll give me 20? Who'll give me 30? Somebody in the congregation said, what made the difference? And that old violin, he said it was the touch of the master's hand. What made your life so much different here this morning? It's the touch of the Master's hand. That's why you're different. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Oh, let's sing with all of our hearts.
So bright and so fair.
Oh, yes.
When I enter the gates, I cried, holy, the angel.
You be seated for just a minute while we look at our prayer request today. Brother Raymond Vega wants us to remember Sister Lillian Vega in prayer, sick with a bad cough and bad allergies. Want to remember her today. Daniel Yance, that's Brother Keith Yance's son, very sick, needs healing this morning. Brother Matt Burns is having serious back pain. Sister Susan Burns sends that in, so we want to pray for our brother. Brother Vincent Kent needs prayer. Brother Wade sends that in. Have an unspoken prayer request this morning in my family. I'd like for everybody to pray about. The Lord knows all about it. Sherry Wiggins, Sister Sherry says, I have a very special unspoken request I'm asking my church family to pray with me about. So just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Janet, give me this note this morning. We probably, some of you saw this in the paper, a young man on a skateboard that ran into a car, or was hit by a car, may lose his leg because of the injuries. They don't know his first name, but his last name is Fox. Sister Janet knows his mother, Tina. So they're asking that we would pray for that young man today, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Please remember Sister Shipley in prayer has really bad back issues. Want to remember her today. Special unspoken prayer request for Stephen Dixon, the Lord knows all about. Sister Janet says, please remember Eugene. He's not been able to come to church in over 4 months. He really misses not being able to be here. He's been so sick and weak that he rarely gets out of the bed. The doctor still does not have an answer. We appreciate your continued prayer. So we certainly want to pray for the Kennedy family, Brother Eugene, that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation this morning. This is a testimony sent into the library from Russ Berry. Below is a prayer request I sent in last Saturday night for my 5-year-old grandson who fell and hit his head on the tile floor and as a result suffered a concussion and contusion. The church had prayer for him on Sunday morning. They did another CAT scan on him Sunday and everything looked good, so they released him on Sunday afternoon. As they were leaving, one of the nurses told his mama that it was so good that they did not have to do surgery. She told William that he didn't have to have surgery because Jesus touched him, and William's reply was, "Well, Jesus must love me. Pray that he never forgets that." In Christian love, Brother Russ Barry. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request today you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you know God's able? Somebody say, "God is able." Somebody say, "God's more than able." Give me one more hand clap of praise as you stand this morning. Brother Skip Walker, would you come today? Lead us to the Lord. Let's just commit these things unto God. We believe we're serving a prayer-answering God. Amen. We love our brother, don't we? God bless you, Brother Skip. Appreciate you, buddy.
Let's everybody pray together. Dear Lord, we're certainly grateful for the opportunity of a place to come where we hear the truth, Lord. And we thank you for the service last night. Sometimes communion service can be such a pressure, Lord, but we thank you for letting us be here, Lord. We pray you'd be with each request, Father. There's so many needs in the world, and they have confidence to send them here among us. We thank you, Father, that they would have that confidence for this church, Lord. We know there's godly people here, and we're thankful to be counted among them. We pray you'd be with each one now. We ask you to be with the preaching of the word. May that's what gets us through, Father, day to day. And we pray that you'd be with each one in need. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here this morning, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Well, let's sing a song this morning. We wore it out again. We wore this one out, but I love it so much because it's my testimony and it's yours also, I'm sure. There's something that's holding you this morning. And I believe we know what that something is. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that's holding us. And I love him for it, don't you? I love him for it, don't you? Amen. Let's sing about it if you will.
Something keeps holding me every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my trials. Constantly.
desire to steal away my faith.
I like this part. Believe that this morning. We've had a lot of rain this week, this season so far outside. We've had a lot of rain in here too, haven't we? And it's been good. Let's sing that little chorus just before. Brother Justin, you've got a song for us this morning. If you come on, be getting ready while we sing this chorus together today. Let's sing that little chorus together. Let it rain. I pray your soul will get drenched here today. I pray showers of blessings will just be all over you when you leave here today. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. The Lord. You can be seated today. Brother Justin's got a song today. We appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen.
Y'all forgive me? I found out 2 minutes ago I was singing. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me.
mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. I can feel them. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe your angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked the barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. But Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that somebody's praying for me.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. I want Brother Jackie Benton. Where's he at? Brother Jackie, I want you to come and lead us in your signature chorus this morning. I appreciate Brother Jackie Benton, don't you? Amen. What a brother. What a tremendous brother. 81 years old, I guess, right now. Still going strong for the Lord. And I certainly appreciate his testimony, don't you? God bless. Somebody say, God bless Brother Jackie Benton. Sing it, buddy. Love you with all of our heart. Appreciate you. You sing it, buddy.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloods wait just for me. Are all my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood. Say it again. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood. We're made there just for me. For all my pain. When not in guilty, I claim those precious bloodstains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. Why, there's a clean, cleansing stream that flows with a peace that only His redeemed. Glory, thank you, Lord. I aren't you glad I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary? Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. Hallelujah. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When not in healing, I claim those praise. Claim it this morning. Let's sing it one more time. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Thank you, Lord. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. Thank you, Lord. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I leave, I claim those precious bloodstains. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I leave, I claim those precious bloodstains. Thank you, Lord.
How grateful we are for that today. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Let's bow our heads together and go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today, Lord, for your precious blood. The atonement that it took care of for our sins, our redemption, our sickness, our deliverance of all sorts of things in this life. We are so grateful, Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to approach you now through this great channel of prayer. This which you gave us, which blends the natural world into the supernatural. It allows a mortal the open channel of communication to be able to come before the august presence of God into your throne room. Lord, no doubt there's many needs that's present here today. We ask in your Father that you would help each of us for that which is really to our betterment as the children of God. Lord, I think today as we approach you, Father, that there are so many diseases and sicknesses and people afflicted with so many different things, but we know that you're mindful of us. Lord, I'm thinking now, Brother Gene Littleton, Father, facing surgery in the morning on his heart. We're just praying, Lord, that you would be with him and you should guide the physician, Father. We know, Lord, that we are brought here on the earth to serve your purpose. And when that purpose is done, That's when we want to go home. So we ask that you'd be with him. Others that are sick and needy that I know can't be in church today, speak to us, Father, for those of us that are gathered from your great heart. Open up your heart to us today. Speak to us those things which will be beneficial for our journey. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, saints. God bless you. I want to speak to you again today on the fragrance of miracles. The fragrance of miracles. I don't believe that miracles in the natural realm, the seen world, should supersede by our determining value of importance above those miracles which are unseen and in the world which the natural eyes cannot necessarily behold them when they happen. I've been privileged by God to see many miracles in my life. I've seen folks instantly heal with cancer. I've seen cross eyes straightened out. I've seen all kinds of things, and I'm grateful to the Lord for that. But yet I realize that most of those people, probably many of those people that I've seen in Pentecost that was healed with various things, and many of you that I've seen healed with various things, most of you have gotten sick again, and you've needed another touch from the Lord, another healing from the Lord. But yet, a miracle that would transpire in the soul that would be a work which would lead to something eternal that you would never get away from, wouldn't that supersede a natural miracle by which a person in a month or 6 months or 6 years might be in the same shape to need it again? But it's amazing how that we as humans, how that we will look at miracles and we tend to categorize them according to appearance most of the time. And we will see someone who maybe has received a natural, something on the outside, a miracle that's naturally visible and something that everybody can see. And we would tend to make that greater, of more value and of more importance than somebody who's received, say, a grudge inside of their heart. That old grudge has been there for many years. They've had a terrible thing against a brother or sister or somebody. And the Spirit of God would come and deliver them of that something, and it's totally, completely gone. It's amazing how that we will look at that and not acknowledge that as being a miracle and seeing something like that to be so supernatural. Now, if a person really was crippled in their legs or they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, that wouldn't hinder them from going in the rapture or hinder them from going in the body change. But if that person had an ought in their heart against somebody else, you won't go in the rapture with one thing in your heart against anybody. If you had something there, a grudge in your heart against somebody, or an old sore, as Brother Ram called it, something that you've not made right, that will absolutely hinder you not only going to the rapture, it'll hinder you right now from receiving of the blessing of the Lord. But it's amazing how that we would tend to rejoice. And my, if we prayed for several people last night, and there were several miracles that would happen, and people come through the communion line, and somebody said, I was healed with blood pressure, and I was healed with this. My, you folks would clap, and all praise the Lord, praise the Lord, he's among us, but he's doing greater than that by far. And I wonder if we recognize it. Because he's working on things which affect our eternal destination. Blinded eyes would not keep a person out of heaven. Lame legs, as far as in this life, you know, those sort of things would never keep them out. But yet that which he is working on is so important and has such value to the soul that it would make us into his perfect, complete image. I'm so grateful for it. Now, let us look at and recap just a little bit before we look at a couple of more of these miraculous fragrances that the Lord desires to do in our hearts. And I want to put them up on the board with you because there's so many on the screen for me to read so you can be able to go through it with me. Now, look at the things that God, by supernatural, is accomplishing in the hearts and the lives of his people. Love, faith, hope, a pure heart, patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, peace, godliness, thankful or thanksgiving or thankfulness, merciful, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, forgiveness, forgiving, revelation, charity. None of you all clapped. None of you all shouted. None of y'all hardly even made a peep. Why? Don't you consider this miracles? Don't you consider that God took your hard heart and changed you into a forgiving person? God took your cruel, wicked ways. Friends, think back of what some of us were. How mean, how evil, how wicked we were, and what God has turned us into. And the thing about it is, these things are not getting less and less and less as we go. They're getting greater and greater and greater as we go and grow in the Lord. And to me, these things are going to lead. Now, you think I'm crazy if you want to, whatever. But to me, as we get these things right in our life, we're going to see a display of the power of God among the elect, which we have desired and prayed for many, many years. Amen. There's people among us who have missing hands and this and that and the other. And we prayed and prayed and asked God to do this. To me, many of those are reserved for right before the body change. But you know what? God is not going to give to us as He did to Pentecost in our immaturity, in our greenness, in our lack of understanding and ability how to operate the Spirit of God. But He will give it to mature sons and daughters of God that He knows He can trust. Amen. What is it? Divine healing is a forerunner, a precursor to the body change. And as we see Him coming among us with His power changing our lives, cannot that same Spirit of God change our bodies? Absolutely. Now, let me read them just with you again, and I want you to look at them. Love, faith, hope, a pure heart, patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, peace, godliness, thankful, merciful, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, forgiving, revelation, and charity. And that's only a handful. There ain't no telling how many more, a more educated man could bring it out much better than I could. But you think what little bit contains in the volume of what we just read. And what God has done in our lives. And then we wonder why that Jesus would become so overwhelmed whenever we are in His presence, and He would say to us, turn away your eyes, for one of your eyes has overcome me. You have overcome me. You have prevailed against me. And it is the power of the supernatural God that is displaying such things as this in our lives. And He is so overwhelmed by the work of the supernatural of what is taking place in us that He becomes awed in the presence of the bride. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now let us look at a couple of more this morning before we change and go in a little bit different direction. Let's look at the trait or the fragrance of the miraculous which happens in the lives of every member of the elect, and that is understanding. Now understanding comes in many, many forms and ways. And understanding, of course, has spiritual application as well as natural application. And we can understand things in the natural world, and many times the more we understand them, then the better we can make them operate in our lives. Many things we don't need to understand it in order to use it all the time. I do not personally understand the frequency of this body pack right here on my belt, but I do know that there is a receiver. Now that receiver, which is unseen, it's hid to you all, but yet I know where it is. And that receiver comes from right here, and it goes to that receiver, which is hardwired back to the PA here in the back. Now by that, this is totally invisible, this little bitty antenna that comes here from the side. Now this is a variable, a frequency body pack, which is here, which means the brethren
ears have the capability of selecting one frequency out of another. If there would be an FM radio station here somewhere that would be close to one frequency, then they can change the frequency here, change the frequency on the receiver, and be able to scan out unwanted things. And there might be certain things in the electricity, a 60 cycle hum, or certain other things that would come. That gives them the ability to variably go from one cycle to another. I don't understand how all that works. I just impressed you with a lot of big words, but I still don't understand it. But you see, I don't really need to understand it. Y'all don't even have a clue, most of you, what I just said. You're sitting there in Star Trek. I mean, you don't even know what, you're in the Jetsons, you're zooming around the world. But you know what? You don't need to understand it in order to receive from it. Because you receive from me or from every other minister that wears a wireless body pack. So really understanding that don't mean nothing to you. Now, if something goes wrong, of course, the brothers in the back, they have to try to figure out what is going on. So they need an element of understanding on how this operates much more than I do. They need an understanding of how it operates much more than you do, right? So there are many things in life that we don't really need to understand in order to get the full benefit of what they are in our lives. And there's other things that in order to get that, we must have the understanding. And we know in God, there's much about God and much of the things that God does that we will never understand. I personally do not waste a lot of my time trying to understand things that are not allocated for me to understand. I want to understand that which is given to my capacity. There are men in the message that understand much more than what I do about a lot of things. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to be like this man or that man or that man. But I want to find out who I am, find out my allocation, and see what God has made me to be. And then I want to understand in the full capacity of what God's ordained me. You understand? You follow me? It's the same way with you. Many of you would be much better off instead of trying to understand in a capacity of a preacher or of this person or that person. Just find what God has made you and walk in that understanding, and you'll find there comes a great peace and a great happiness just being what God has made you. Don't try to be like this man or that man or impress this woman or that one talking about things that you have no idea what you're even talking about anyway. Just be what God has made you and walk in the fullness of your understanding. The Ram says that this way in prayer and souls in prison, Father, I pray you'd help each man, woman, boy, and girl to understand in the capacity that they are under, that they're ordained to understand in. So that shows us even in the elect of God that there are certain capacities of understanding that are given to people, and we're wasting our time to try to expand beyond that. And you know that the people, whenever they see one and they become impressed by this man or that woman, whatever it is, and many times they become jealous and they want to understand what this person does. Why are you wasting your time doing that? You just become a carnal impersonator. My, I've heard brothers preach around the world, preach a message, and think, wow, I feel like a kindergarten guy. But you know what? Apparently God still wanted me to preach. He goes ahead and gives me sermons, so I figure I might as well preach it anyhow. I won't be like this man or that man or that man. But they're not the only kid on the block either. God's got a lot of folks that I can reach that other men wouldn't, and other folks that other men could reach. So you realize that God disperses the gifts according to his own wisdom. And we're to be what God wants us to be. But yet I know that in God that there is the spiritual aspect of understanding. And we know that God is not understood just by reading the Bible alone. Now the Bible is not like a newspaper or a self-help manual or some kind of directions and putting together some type of piece of furniture. But the Bible was spiritually written, and it must be spiritually revealed. So you'll never know God. Well, you don't need revelation. You message people make me sick, they say, because you just talk about revelation, revelation, revelation. You don't need revelation to understand God. Apparently you haven't read very much of the Bible. Because if you read very much of the Bible, you'll know the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. So the things which are revealed, revelation, which they can only come by revelation, are made known in such way. And we know that understanding, now the spiritual application of understanding is that it ties into the channel or the avenue of revelation. That it takes supernatural power to give us an understanding. A photosia, which is an illumination to help us to see something that naturally we wouldn't be able to see on our own. And that's why theologians can read the Bible and study it and miss it 10 million miles. But yet for those that may be as dumb as an old doornail and they don't hardly have any education at all, but yet the Spirit of God will illuminate their understanding and they can comprehend something that a DD can't understand, or a PhD or an LLD, and they just scratch their head, and somebody that has understanding, why, it makes perfect sense to them. But it's not because they're smart, it's not because they're educated, it's because they've opened their soul up to an avenue to receive understanding from the mind of God. Now watch this in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Paul actually saying this to the saints. This is a desire now, an intent on the prophet's heart that the saints at Ephesus, and no doubt the other saints, would be able to receive the eyes of your understanding. Now what a peculiar thing for a preacher to say, that understanding would have eyes. Who in the world ever heard of eyes being on understanding? So it shows us that understanding by itself is not complete. Now this is why that we need supernatural part to strike us, so it will illuminate our eyes and connect our eyes of our understanding. Notice what he says, the eyes of your understanding being light, enlightened, which is the Greek word photizo, which is the word that we get our English word from, photo. Now look what it means. It means give light, to bring light, to illuminate, make to see, render evidence. Listen now, render evident, to cause something to exist and thus come to light and become clear to all. Now this is what Paul desired them, that the saints of God, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that it would be like a light would come on and they would be able to see it. It would be so clear to them. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, how are we going to get this? We might know the hope of his calling and know what his inheritance in the saints is. It's not just by studying the scriptures. It's not just even by coming to church and hearing me or some other man preach it. But your own eyes must be enlightened, your own eyes of your understanding being lightened, that it might be made real to you. If not, it just becomes things that you hear me repeat. And then you'll say it because you're hearing it repeated over and over again. But it's really not made clear to you. Then somebody else with a stronger charisma than I have, or a stronger personality, which wouldn't take much of a person of that, then someone like that would convince you what I'm telling you is not the truth. That what I'm telling you is I'm brainwashing you. And I'm some kind of devil that's pouring out pink Kool-Aid. And I'm hypnotizing you all by some supernatural something or another. And then all of a sudden you leave the message and you go follow some nut somewhere. But if it's your eyes of your understanding have been illuminated, you say, no, that's not what Brother Donnie's saying. Brother Donnie's pointing us right to the scripture. These are the scriptures and these are the things that the Bible says. Amen, church. But once people sit under it and they hear it, and they hear it repetitive over and over and over again, actually an element of their understanding, they see it. They do see it. But it's more on the intellectual side, which is their intellectual faith. And then they see it, they hear it over and over again, and they actually begin to repeat it. I see the serpent seed. I see predestination. I see this. I see that. But has it really been enlightened and illuminated? If it was, they'd never backslide away from it. They'd never call William Branham a false prophet and say this message is of the devil. Right. But yet they said they believed it, many of them 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever. They believed it with all their hearts. So where did it come from? The intellectual faith. They heard it over and over again and they actually repeated it, but the eyes of their understanding was never enlightened or illuminated to help them to grasp it by revelation. Oh my. And the saints said, praise the Lord. That's right. Notice again in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can I be able to grasp and comprehend what the will of God is? Now we know that there's so many things about the will of God that you and I will never know. So Paul is now speaking about the whole content of the will of God, of every fabric that was woven into the material. But being able to grasp a whole of the will of God, which becomes your own mission and destiny in life. That you can find what God wants you to do, what God wants you to become, what God, the reason God has for you to be on the earth. Do you all know what that is? Do many of you, have you settled that you know why you are here? Why are you here, Happy Valley? You young girls, you young boys, you older men, older women, why are you here? Is it just to work? Some of you are not even sure what you're supposed to do in work. You're still changing jobs. You're doing this and going there. You know why? You've never found yourself yet. You need to find yourself and find what you are and what God made you to be, and then grow into what God wants you to be instead of wandering around, going here, going there, and never finding out. That is not pleasing to the Lord. That's right. Paul says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now notice this in Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So here Paul goes even a step further and declares that he doesn't want the saints just to know a little bit about the will of God, but he wants them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So it's not then just sitting down and reading the Bible, well, I'm supposed to be a Christian, I'm supposed to do that. It takes spiritual understanding to find your place in the Lord Jesus. Now that not only involves your vocation and a job, but it involves where you go to church. It involves who your pastor is. It involves what your position is in that body as you sit there. It also involves your position in the mystical body around the world, to where you realize that our church is not the only one. Far from it. It's a very, very small, small work of what God is doing around the world. And the church said, amen. You see, a person in the real position, the sign of maturity is that you're able to recognize your brothers and sisters. Whenever you was a little bitty baby and you first learned how to speak, whatever the first words you says was, mama, dada, or goo goo, or whatever. You know, whenever you become older and older, and you're laying there looking at these strange looking faces, and they're making these strange looking faces at you, and it is amazing how the babies change our talk. That's it, honey, yeah. And they think, well, come on, why don't you talk like an adult? The baby learns something. I want to learn to talk like you, and you're trying to talk like me. But as that baby grows older and becomes a child, it begins to recognize its brothers, its sisters, its aunts, its uncles. So it is a sign that that baby is growing up when it can recognize it's not the only one in the family. It's a sign of great immaturity for our preachers and our churches to feel like they're the only one in the family. Well, praise be to God. Preach, Brother Donnie. You see, it's part of our maturity in recognizing that God is a God of diversity. God made black people. God made Chinese. God made, Nepalese. God made all different types of people in the world. And God loves them all. God did not look at the white race and say, you are the superior race. That's a bunch of nonsense. God never looked at the black race and said, you are the superior race. Or the Chinese. Or the Japanese. He loves them all exactly in the same way. Now people may have race problems, but God don't have any. And Holy Ghost filled people don't have any either. Watch, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Oh my. Give thee understanding in all things. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. I love this word here. It's a different word than the others that Paul uses. It's a spirit way of thinking and feeling. a spirit way of thinking and feeling. Not a natural way, not a carnal way, but a spirit, the spirit way of feeling and thinking and moving and operating. So the Son of God has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God.
Amen.
So what all involves the true God? Not just the Godhead, but an understanding of your place in Him. Now, this is what your Bible says. This is the true God and eternal life. So He has given us an understanding that we may know Him, but not only know Him, but know our position in Him. This is the true God. Well, I see you're choking on that. I think I'll go ahead and choke you a little more. I don't understand too much, but I do know dog gives birth to dogs. Cats give birth to cats. Birds give birth to birds. And God would give birth to what? Thank you. Thank you. What does that take, though? An understanding. And all people, oh, but that you're crazy. That's nonsense. What is it? They lack understanding. They lack understanding. How can we be able to go on with God in this day that we're living? And if we've got faith and we've got patience and brotherly kindness, but we still need understanding. Because charity can never replace understanding. Love, as powerful as it is, faith, as wonderful it is, but yet the things God wants us to understand, let's not settle for less. Remember, the prophet tells us in 1965, if you are an eagle, you will understand. And remember, then he comes back in other statements and says, I don't understand how God does this, and I don't understand that, and I don't understand that, so I believe it. I don't need to understand it, but you've got to balance out them quotes with each other. And if not, then you'll have us going around a bunch of dummies. We don't even want we believe or nothing else. But we want to understand everything He wants us to understand. Oh, hallelujah. And the things that are not mine to understand, I'm not even going to worry about it. But I'm going to have to go to Him and find out His will for my capacity. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at another one. Joy. How many likes joy? I'll say the rest of you is on depression medicine. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many believe that? Do you notice the Bible doesn't say your joy is your strength? Your joy, your happiness, your bubbling experience is not your strength. Your strength is His joy. Now listen to me this morning. I hope this don't seem weird and strange to you. Of course, if it has, it won't be the first time you've heard me say weird things, will it? St. John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And that your joy, difference, your joy might be full. Now, aren't these peculiar words for a man who's just fixing to be crucified? Remember, this is on the way from the chamber where they just had the Passover, on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Within a few hours, Jesus is going to be beaten, stripped, and whipped, and treated awful. And yet, He is concerned about them receiving His joy. Notice, friends, I wonder sometimes if we comprehend and understand the reason that we are so robbed in this life of joy. It's because we let things around us dictate to us how much happiness we should have. So if our money's growing and interest is good, and, you know, you got your bills paid or wherever you live in, whatever category you are, we let those things determine our joy. Our joy is not just based upon us. I have an element of human joy. Okay, things that make me happy, things that make me smile and make me laugh. But if that's the only joy I've got, I'm going to be a sad, long-faced message believer. But if I have broken to another avenue, which is His joy, then money up or down makes no difference. Whether a Democrat is in the White House or a Republican, it makes no difference. Whether the economy is good, bad, up, down, whether climate change or no climate change, my joy is based upon my Lord Jesus and nothing else. Do you understand why we are not as joyful as we ought to be as Christians? Because we determine it on our own joy and not His. Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Do with them what you wish. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain. Now not come and go, but that my joy, Jesus' own joy, Jesus' joy. What do you reckon would get Jesus' joy down? So what do you think would affect Jesus' joy? That Jesus said, I'm so depressed. Housing markets went way down. Unemployment's awful. There's more people on food stamps than it's ever been before. I just read this week where the IMF is going to come up in October and going to try to figure out to introduce a new global currency that will replace the U.S. dollar. And Jesus' joy just sitting over in the corner. Not the U.S. dollar. Oh, no. That don't affect Jesus a bit more nothing. You know why it tears us all to pieces? Because we're relying on our joy instead of His joy. We hear bad news, it bottoms our joy out. If we would only realize His joy is still there when ours is gone. There's times I don't mind telling you it feels like I ain't got a thimble full of joy. But if I can understand His joy remains in me when my joy took a vacation. Some of y'all ever feel like your joy went on a 6-month Bahama cruise? Some of y'all looking like you'd just be glad if it was 6 months. You feel like it's been 6 years. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy. Amen. Children, don't raise your hand, but think of it. Do you have His joy in you today? Is Jesus' joy, Brother Dow, so real in us that we can be happy when there's really no reason to be around us, I mean. Now watch what His joy pouring into us does. I've spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I'll tell you one thing, if He pours His joy in my joy will fill up. And what was His joy? Now first we have to find out the source. Just like with our joy. What is it that dictates to our joy? Well, it's economy. It's things around us, such as our grandkids doing this, our children doing that. Oh, this is bad, and church trouble. Man, this is going on. So that's where the source of it is. Then we look at, well, I got the joy in them. I go to church, but I can't worship. Brother Donnie, you knew what I would do. Oh, God, I can't praise the Lord. And it's written all over many of your faces. Your joy has departed from you. And you're looking around at this, that, and other, and until your joy, you think, until your joy comes, I can't worship, I can't do this and that and the other. Why? You're depending on your joy instead of depending on His joy. What was the source of His joy? Oneness with the Father. Being so harmonious with the Father's will. That He done only that which pleased the Father. This is His joy. Now He desires then, He says that my joy might remain in you. So the disciples, followers of Christ, are to have that constant joy, complete, completely filled up. What's the word there? It's a metaphor which is used for a container that something so fills it up that it runs over the sides and runs down the top of the table. How long has it been since you had such joy? You was just running everywhere. Well, back 1919, I think I remember. No. It's 1917. How long has it been, church, since you had such joy in God? Your cup was running over. And your saucer got full. And the tabletop got wet. And the floor got sopping wet. And it run into the living room and into the bedroom where your kids were. It run, hallelujah, where your wife was. And the joy was so full. A while, huh? I think we need to go to the doctor's office this morning. And get diagnosed. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Jesus, again in St. John 16:24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. But ask and you shall receive. That your joy may be full. Now notice what adds and builds and encourages and helps our joy. Amen. Answered prayers. But now remember, Jesus didn't say this had this effect on his joy. Does he want to take your joy? He does not. But he wants you to have two doses. Oh Lord, help us, Jesus. Do you understand where we're living? How far beneath our privilege? God wants my own joy to be so full. And then he wants me to have his joy on top of my joy. Oh, I see what the problem is right now. Some of y'all's got so much joy, you're just wore out packing it. I'm so happy. I got so much joy. I am more slap out. No, you just didn't sleep good last night. That's your problem. Notice in St. John 17:13, as Jesus is praying. Now this is the hour when all this terrible thing is laying before him. And who does he pray for? Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Does this matter, Brother Harold, to Jesus? It must. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is in his prayer right before he's fixing to be crucified. But your joy meant so much to him. He didn't just pray for himself. He prayed that we would have his joy. Sister says, it matters if you've got long hair and a long dress and all that sort of thing. And yet you don't have this. You're still not fulfilling the completion of the word of God. Jesus prayed that we would have his joy. Oh my joy. What kind of joy was it? It wasn't a worldly joy. It wasn't a joy that was motivated by platinum and gold and silver and houses and lands and boats and this and that and the other. It was a heavenly joy. Do you understand that God has joy? Do you understand that God sings? Do you understand who God sings over? I'm throwing questions to you and I'll give you the answer momentarily. Acts chapter 13 verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And Malachi 4 is to turn our hearts back to the faith of the original apostolic fathers. Woo! Joy. Blow, north wind. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you should give us about 40 days and we'll pick up and then you can blow on us. Don't you want what I got? What is it? The cramps? Kidney stone? Flu? Oh, I've got the joy of the Lord. Really? I don't want it. I hate everybody. I'm miserable. I go to church, but I don't like the preacher. I'm not saying like God. I go, but I don't know why I go. Stay away from me. Romans 5:11, not only so, but we also. But where? What? Joy in God. So that leaves out money, houses, lands, feeling, tummy ache, headache, backache. Children, do you know how to joy in God? Do you know how to let God be the focal point of your joy? Weather don't affect it. Time don't affect it. Sickness don't affect it. It is in the eternal. You are joying in God. Not just when things are going good, but when things are going bad, you can still have joy in God. Now remember, this is apostolic. This is the first church. They knew how to joy in God. And they were being killed, they were being crucified, or whatever more was happening to them. But they learned not to joy in their circumstances. They learned not to joy because things around them was good or bad. They learned to joy in God. In God, it don't change. Oh, hallelujah. They were rejoicing in God Himself, the Eternal One, His attributes, His mercy, His love, His grace. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in your bank account. Joy and the Holy Ghost when you don't have a bank or an account. Oh my. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with a little teeny drop, because poor old God, I mean, the famine has hit heaven. Hadn't y'all heard? There's a famine in heaven. There ain't hardly no peace left in heaven, and no joy, and no happiness. Now I'm judging this based upon the way his kids are acting on the earth. Because I know surely my heavenly Father, my loving Father, if he had all this joy and all this abundance and peace and mercy, he would not be hoarding it up somewhere in the storehouses of heaven. Hallelujah. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Notice now, I cannot help Jesus' joy, but I can't help yours. Jesus' joy don't need my help, thank God. It'd be a small joy, wouldn't it, if I could help it? Now, come on, Jesus, be encouraged. Come on, Jesus. There you go. Smile, Jesus. Good, good, good. That's it. Smile at Jesus. Amen. Boy, I helped Jesus today. Jesus smiled at the end of the service. He don't need my help. But I'll tell you one thing, I've run into a lot of his children that sure do. Why? Because we get so bogged down with, Brother Donnie, say, you talk like everything's going good. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me tell you, everything is going wrong that can go wrong. And everything that ain't wrong today may be wrong tomorrow by the end of the week. I'm not talking about basing our joy upon things going good. I'm talking about picking an eternal source, and we base our joy on Him, not on the stock market, not on the money market. We have joy in the middle of trouble. We can have joy in the middle of hell. We can have joy when our own joy is depleted and gone. Oh my. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How long has it been since you've seen anybody like that? You're not to consider it a punishment or a curse or a calamity, but actually as a subject of rejoicing. You say, can't be four times. Did you win the lottery? Oh, praise the Lord, bro. What's going on? I've been tempted like everything. The devil is attempting me and God's allowing me to be tried. I ain't never been through so much stuff in my life. I'm about to shout my shoe heels off right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where's the deacons? You better watch this. Is that what the Bible says? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It brings a joy. A joy in believing him experiences such a joy that it's joy unspeakable that you can't even find the words to say. And Peter goes on to say joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the Greek word there is glorified, past tense. And it is a divided tense in that part of the joy is already being experienced and part of it is a future expectation. So it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Divided glory. Glory I've got right now and glory I'm going to get after a while. Oh. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Can you imagine all that constitutes the essence of eternal joy from the very heart of the Lord Jesus himself? That when my joy, Brother Jim, is so depleted and the Lord Jesus looks at me and I'm so sad and I'm under such a load and I'm so difficult and his heart is breaking because here is this fountain of his joy and I will not tap into it. How do you think it makes him feel when you're so sad and you're so depressed and he's got all this joy to give you? And you just won't ask him. But what do we wait for? The condition which took our joy to get better. Then when the condition gets better, then we think somehow we have a right to have joy. His joy is there when conditions manipulate yours. Look at his love. Look what Jesus did. Oh, think of it, friends. Jesus didn't give us two mercies, our mercy and his mercy. He didn't give us two goodnesses, our goodness and his goodness. He didn't give us two of many of the other things, but he wanted to give us two sources of joy. That ought to speak something to our heart, knowing that our joy would be such an onslaught of the devil that we would have two sources, our own and his. He wants you to have joy so much. Oh my. I love this quote of the Smyrnian church age. The cloudy skies and the storms of life are no sign of God's disapproval. But if we're not careful, that's the way we read them. You get a bad doctor's report. Oh, what's wrong? I don't understand. Oh, God, this is going on. Oh, there's something bad wrong. You know what you're doing? You're determining your joy by the doctor's reports you just got. And if you'd have got a good doctor's report, you'd have come out there, yes, oh, thank the Lord, hallelujah. But because it wasn't good, all of your joy was depleted. Come on now. But if we only realize we've got another source on the other side of the doctor's report, then we can go to that source and say, I will joy in God, my Savior. I will rejoice. Amen. This is only another means by which God can perform a miracle if I'll let him. Or we can sit around and pout on God. I'm a Christian. I'm living for God. How come I'm sick? I challenge anybody in this building or anybody around the world to show me one scripture where the Bible says as Christians you will not be sick. I want you to send me one scripture where the Bible said as Christians you'll not be challenged. Or you can take my word for it, it does not exist. Then why do we get mad at God when they come? They come because you're a human and this body is still under the curse of sin. Amen. You don't need no more understanding than that. Oh. Notice, neither are bright skies and still waters signs of His love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the Beloved. His love is elective, which He had for us. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Before I could even choose, He chose. Before I could ever make up my mind, His mind was already made up. Amen. Does He love us? Oh, yes. But how shall we know? Because all of our bills are paid. And we have perfect health all the time. And we have everything going good. We never have no trouble. We never have any problems. That's the marijuana version of that quote. Cool, man. Cool. No problems till your joint runs out. Face reality, church. If anybody's going to be hated, it's going to be you. But you ought to rejoice. That means all hell is against you. If all hell had you, it wouldn't be against you. Now, this is too simple, I realize. Does He love us? Oh, yes. But how shall we know? This answer is much too simple. So I'll only say it for the simple. We shall know because He said so. That's too simple. That ain't enough. We've got to have a feeling. We've got to have a revelation. We've got to have something behind it. No. We know because He said so. And manifested that He did love us, for He brought us to Himself and gave us of His Spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to Him? By believing what He said and conducting myself with now, please, somebody, you have the right to stand right now and show me where Brother Branham said, I'm supposed to conduct myself with depression, negative attitude, worry, fear, anxiety amidst the trials that comes to pass. Don't you tell me this don't need to be preached. How many in the majority of this congregation in your day and those that are here in this service can conduct yourself with joy? With joy. Do you understand how Jesus conducted Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane on the cross? With joy. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before Him. What was that joy? Your fellowship. Amen. Let's say it together. Lord, help me. How shall I prove my love to Him? By believing what He said. And conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that He in His wisdom allows to come to pass. How many are guilty of this quote? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, I might preach this again next Sunday and maybe it'll be 15. And even they don't do it all the time. How can you say that? I know this too well. Brother Ram did always conduct himself with such abundant joy in his trials, and if he didn't, these folks ain't going to either. I don't. That's why I need help. I said, that's why I need help. Oh my. But why don't we do it? How can we conduct ourselves with joy? His joy does not fluctuate with trials. So it's not this big resource of joy that's right here at my disposal. And I can tap into it at any time, or I can wait till the condition which affected my joy changes, and then I'll flip-flop like a fish, and then I'll smile again. Hallelujah. Glory. I got such joy. Hallelujah. I feel so light. Hallelujah. Or I can tap into this resource right here, and I'm in the middle of hell. Troubles going all around me. All kinds of difficulties, everything else. But in my heart, I am full of joy. My cup is so full that my saucer's running over. The tabletop is wet and the bedroom floor is wet and the kitchen floor is wet. But what, from what source? Not from my joy, but from His joy. His joy manifesting itself so in me. Which would be a greater light to you? As your leader, for me to stand here and be all down and out, ever service and weary. Oh, Brother Donnie, oh my, do you ever have trials? Don't ask me such stupidity. Ask me if I'm ever out from under them. But to me, it's a greater victory for me to come out here like I'm bouncing off the walls, bouncing around like a yo-yo. Got the joy of God. Amen. And yet in my heart, I'm thinking to myself, are you nuts? Are you out of your mind? Man, you're going under this and that and the other. It's something beyond me. I know what it is. It's the feeder tube that's tied over in to the fountain of endless joy. Oh, children, I want it more myself. I want it more. Or I can come out like this. Pardon me. Brother Larry's saying, only believe all things are possible. Oh, I can't. Please, Brother Larry, please, no. I can't. How y'all doing today? It's awful, ain't it? I don't know what's going to happen.
Is that the kind of preacher you want? Well, let me just tell you, that's not the kind of sheep I want either.
Now you see how unfair you are? How many times would it take for me to drag out that door? Would I make it till next Sunday morning? Y'all be looking for somebody else. But y'all come in here and flop down. You're all weighted down. Brother Louis, my goodness, feels like I had organs on him sometime with the song leader trying to pack you, trying to get you up and get you up and get you ready for the word. You better be glad I don't have the power to vote you out the way you have the power to vote me out. God knows where to put the voting power, didn't he? Children, I'm not trying to shame you, but I'm saying this. How would it make your daddy feel if your father was a millionaire? And yet you were standing out down here at this traffic light after church. I will work for food. And your daddy passed up and I said, get over here, get in this car. Come on, I'll go out here and buy you something. I don't want to. I don't want to. I've got a complex. You whooped me when I was four. Dear Lord. I remember from three on up. My mama whooped me just a few weeks before I got married. I deserved it. I back-talked her. So you're going to stand on the side of that poor old fella, that poor old fella, and his daddy's a millionaire. Can you imagine us behaving and acting like we're the children of God and claiming the children of God, and people look at us and say, what in the world's the matter with them? They're Christians. Why in the world are they so sad and so depressed? They believe that message up there at that weird church on the hill. I reckon that goes with it. No, that don't go with it. No, there is no promise, my brother. There is a resource in God. Whenever our inside can rejoice, though the outside perishes day by day. Let me close. God said in the book of Zephaniah, I will rejoice over you. And I will sing over you. Can you imagine us making God so happy that God rejoices and God sings? And where does he sing? Over us. How many of you mothers, when your baby was crying, hush, little baby, don't say a word. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. And what would that lullaby do to that baby? Maybe you couldn't carry a tune in the Lord bucket, but the baby apparently didn't know the difference. Because it wasn't so much the words, the lyrics. It wasn't so much about the algorithm in your voice and all that. It was the comforting of your voice. Glory to God, because that baby heard that voice from right inside of here, all those munches packing it around, and there was something about the power in your voice. Instead of us looking at the elements around us, why don't we hear the voice of him who packed us before the foundation of the world, and let him speak to us and say, children, here's my joy. Tap into it. Here's all you'll ever need. Father, I pray that they can have my joy and it'll be full in them. Amen. Let's bow our heads. These then are some of the saints' spices, miracles of fragrance, what's contrary to nature. Don't you see what I preached to you this morning? It's contrary to even natural thinking. When you have so many problems and so many difficulties, the natural way would to be sad and depressed and lonely. Your marriage ain't what you want it to be, and your kids didn't grow up what you wanted them to be, and now your second generation, your grandkids ain't growing up what you want them to be. And the church ain't what you wish it was, and I'm not what you wish I was. And oh, everywhere you look, it's disappointment. It's no wonder that our joy is so depleted. It's the source we're basing it on. Oh, but may the Lord help us today that we can realize the joy of the Lord is our strength. Some of you today, the reason you feel so weak, it ain't because you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's because you're running on nearly empty of joy. Joy. Just the happiness of being a child of God. Got problems in your home, problem in your family, and it's went on and on and on and deleted your joy in God. But you know what? If you can tap into that resource today of God, you can joy in God even though your mother may hate you. You got a blood brother or sister that despises you. But if you can tap into that source of God, you can joy in God even when you're at odds with your brother or at odds with someone else, your boss, whatever more. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, before I pray for them, Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me. I've not always conducted myself with joy in the midst of trials that you allowed to come away. Lord, and I've realized the reason I haven't is because I was basing my joy on the conditions. And when the conditions changed and went bad, then my joy went with it. Forgive me, Lord. My father is a billionaire in joy. A trillionaire in mercy, goodness, kindness. Who am I, a little old pauper as it were, that would try to live a full life out of my little reservoir of joy? It's like you having this great abundance of all the oceans put together of joy. And then you give me and my own portion a little thimble.
And at best, my little thimble is very, very small. And then trouble comes and robs from my thimble of joy. Difficulty. Problems with people. And before long, my little thimble of joy is gone. And here is the oceans of the earth, if I could say it that way, just waiting for me to tap into it. Lord, now we know that joy doesn't eliminate the problem, but it gives us strength to be able to endure it. The joy of the Lord doesn't just make us bubble dance. The joy of the Lord isn't there just to make us hop around and all that sort of thing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't need joy just to run and jump and holler and shout. I need joy for strength. And if Satan can rob me of my joy, he will rob me of my strength. Lord Jesus, come this way today, would you? I've never preached on it, Lord, but I've got a file on it. Brother Branham said it several times in the message, that we have untapped resources that we have never yet broke into. Untapped resources. Lord, for a lot of these people here in America, the politicians, they try to tell us we're running out of oil, running out of coal, running out of this, that, and the other. But I read just this morning, well, we have enough coal reserves in the United States to last over 200 years. Enough oil to last 200 to 300 years. That's at minimum. But yet politicians want to project their little agenda to try to scare us. That's where the devil is. He's the biggest politician there ever was. So he wants to try to tell us, you better be careful of that joy because you're going to run out. You better be careful of that love. You better not love too much. You better not. Lord God, it won't last us 200 years. It'll last us through eternity. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but your being is so great and so wonderful. Even through eternity, you will be unveiling yourself more and more and more about you. We'll be finding out. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for every old sad long face I've had that could have been implemented by your joy. Forgive us, Lord. Sometimes we get to feeling so sorry for ourselves and we like that old long sad face. Many folks would rather be sick than be healed. They'd rather be sad than be happy. Forgive us, Lord. You died so we could be free. You give us a double source of joy, our own and your own. Oh, may we say, as the little bride said there, may the north wind blow. May it blow across fragrances. Truly, some of these people are born naturally. Some people are. They're born naturally to be easy depressed. What a miracle it would be for people that are born that way, their natural nature and the sign they're born under, to tap into this joy. Even though many members of their family, they themselves are born naturally depressed. But yet, Lord, for the joy of God, the miraculous, and something changes them from within. Praise God. Help us, Lord. Fill us with your joy, Lord Jesus. How many wants his joy? Would you raise your hand to? You believe he can change you? Look at me just a moment. Brother Tim Pruitt sent me a testimony yesterday of an apostolic preacher. Some of you may have seen it. He had a heart attack and died in the airport in Australia. He was dead for 45 minutes. And the Lord raised him from the dead. And he's telling this testimony before the UN. It's quite something to see. But the Lord raised him from the dead. Not only that, but he went to a doctor when he came back home. And they'd done a DNA test. And the doctor told him that when God raised you from the dead, he took those genomes out of your DNA that would ever cause you to have another heart attack again. Wow. Glory! If he can do that for a heart, if you naturally tend to lead toward depression and sadness and gloominess, and that's your natural tendency, cannot he do that same thing to you in that way? Yes. Amen.
I'm not talking about shallow, bubbly type thing. I'm talking about something so deep within us, Brother Larry, that totally changes us. Jesus' own joy.
Amen.
Let's stand together. It'll be a miracle. It'll be a miracle for some of you who tend to be so depressed. But sure as there's a God in heaven, somebody will walk out of this place today changed forever. Lord have mercy. Changed forever. They may not even turn a testimony in. They may not be as equivalent as you would think to blinded eyes coming open to me. Blinded eyes have come open right here today. Amen. The eyes of our understanding, which were blinded by tradition and shackles, have popped open. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you understand where the setting of the scripture Nehemiah comes from? The people have come back to rebuild the walls. And they rebuild the walls, and the revival is in progress. And the ministers are standing up reading the word and preaching the word. And while they're doing it, they're standing up on the pulpit reading the word. And while they're reading the word, the people start weeping and crying. And the people are so sad. Because the people say, oh God, oh God, this is what we could have been. Oh God, this is awful. We didn't know the word said that. Oh God, this is awful. That's where the burst of this scripture comes from. That they send word back to them and say, hey, it's not a time to cry. It's not a time to lament. It's time to eat the fat. Glory and drink the sweet. It's time to let revival, revival of what? Joy. Joy. Here now they're hearing the word and Satan is trying to stop it right in its tracks. And God wanted them to rejoice, but in hearing the word has made them so sad and so brokenhearted. And they're just, oh my goodness. They said, hey, that's not the right attitude to have. God wants you to leave out of this place today rejoicing. God wants you to eat the fat and drink the sweet because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You can leave one of two ways after hearing this today. You can leave so sad. I've wasted so many years of my life. I've let the devil rob me of joy. I've let you. If that's the way you want to do it, suit yourself. I'm going to go out eating fat. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry too. I'm sorry that I didn't smile as much as I could have and had as much joy. But it's fat time. I said it's fat time. It's time to drink the sweet. And let the joy of the Lord be our strength. I don't know about you. I need strength. I said I need strength. Strength don't come from feeling. Strength don't come from emotion. Strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lay your hand over on one another this morning, would you? Love, faith, hope, pure heart. Patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, revelation, charity, understanding. What a way to close it out. Joy. Heavenly Father, as my brothers and sisters had their hands laid one upon the other, maybe a wife to a husband or vice versa, parent to a child, or just a brother to a brother, sister to a sister. Lord Jesus, you know how this life is filled with so many sad, depressing things. Lord, constantly, my life is so filled with so many sad things. Lord, weekly I'm bombarded with divorces and sickness and children with tumors. And Lord, all kinds of sad things. Just in our church alone would be enough, Lord, to deplete a man. But God, you see, I have to deal with it around the world and try to help people in all different parts of the world. Lord, sometimes it becomes so overwhelming. But Lord, I don't believe it's pleasing to you, Father. that I deal with so much difficulty and so much sadness and sorrow, and it robbed me of my joy. I just can't believe, Lord, that that's pleasing to you. Help me, I pray, Father. Help me, Lord, to be able to tap into that resource even more than what I have in the past, Lord, to know that my walk and my vocation, I'm called to deal with sickness. I'm called to deal with divorce and separation and trouble and all that sort of thing. But I am not called to be depressed, Lord. I am not called to be so sad and so wound up in the people's problems that I have no joy. How can I help them, Lord, if I don't have any joy? I pray then, Father, for these people. Mothers and fathers that have tried to raise their children right. Many of them, Lord, have gone astray. And Lord, because of that straying child, it stole that mother's joy. Lord, she's not as happy as she used to be. And she deals with, oh God, did I not raise them up right? Did I not do right? But help each mother and father right here today, Lord. Each grandparent, mother and father, may you strengthen them with your joy. Help us, I pray, Father, each one of us to find that resource, Lord God, that is beyond our joy. Our joy fluctuates according to the wellness of our family. Our joy fluctuates according to how good they're doing before the Lord. But Heavenly Father, may we tap into that joy of the Lord Jesus, who before the cross, the suffering, the pain, the difficulty, and yet Jesus with joy endured the cross. Jesus with joy endured it. Help us, Father, to break into that resource of joy. It's the only way that we can continue to exemplify the real example of our Lord Jesus. Oh God, we have no way of knowing how dark it's going to get, how difficult it's going to get, but Lord, we don't want to just preach the darkness and project the darkness and make it so dark that we're just sad, gloomy bunch of people. The paradox is right in the middle of hell, we can have the joy of the Lord. Oh, grant it to our hearts today, Father. May we be like those that day, Lord, in the book of Nehemiah. May we eat the fat, as it were. May we drink the sweet, Lord God. It is a time of rejoicing, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We rejoice in your presence today. Forgive me, Lord, for not joying in God more. Forgive me, Lord, for not joying in your presence and in your attributes. Help me, Lord Jesus. From this day forward, I desire to be a better man, a more fruitful Christian, Lord, living in the fruits of the Spirit, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. Amen. Praise be to God. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and tell them, it's been good to be in the house of God today. It's been good, brothers, to be in the house of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We worship you, Heavenly Father. We rejoice. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice. Listen, children. God wants you and I to be so embraced every aspect of our salvation, to touch every element of our human being. You understand why that I want you to worship God? Do you understand why I want you to connect with God? It's not so I can make you emotional. I don't understand people whose salvation does not attach to their emotions. I don't understand people whose salvation does not attach to their eyes or their hands. I don't understand that. I know I give my heart to God whenever I was young, and my emotions are never wrapped up in a lot of the things of the world. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. I don't understand people who come to church and live a life for God, and it's like their emotions, whether it's crying or, you know, waving their hands or whatever, it's not attached to their salvation. Yet it's attached to sports. Them same people go to a ball game and they'll jump and run and scream and holler and this and that and the other. But when it comes to the house of God, if you've ever jumped up at a ball game because somebody kicked a stupid football down to there and you jumped up, oh yeah, that's it. And you've never jumped up because the word, look at yourself. You've never jumped up in service when that word was being preached, look at yourself. You've attached your emotion to a pigskin, been kicked down through there and your favorite team done it, and the word's being preached and you sit there like a knot on a log? What happened to you that your emotions never got attached to your salvation? Hallelujah. I want him to have my soul, my body, my spirit, my emotions, my tear ducts, my eyes. He can even have my feet if he wants them to dance a little bit. Amen. He can have my loud voice, my quiet voice. He can have my hands. He can have everything I've got. Here they are, Lord. Amen. Is that the way you feel, children? I want him to have all of them. Oh, but that'd make me ashamed. Not me. I'd be ashamed without him. I want him to have everything I've got. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just give him a wave offering, can we? Oh, that's it. Just wave your hands there to him. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We rejoice in God. You imagine when Mary, when the supernatural event took place in Mary, and Mary said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. She didn't even have the Holy Ghost like you and I've got today. What in the world ought it to do to us? Oh my. Amen. What it ought to do to us as the people of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. You can have my emotions, Lord Jesus. You can have my spirit. You can have my hands. I give you my feet. I give you my soul. I give you everything. I keep nothing back from you, Lord God. You can have my tongue if you want to speak in another language. That's fine, too. Oh, God, you can have my eyes to shed tears of joy. Praise God. Praise God.
It is joy unspeakable and full.
Let's sing it now.
Of glory, full of glory.
Oh yes, Lord.
Full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of
praise
glory.
The Lord.
And the hand has never yet been told.
Come on, have
to
sing.
It is joy
unspeakable and full
of glory.
Sing together before we go. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Thanks be to God. Truly. It'll be amazing grace that will fulfill every one of these words. Now, if somebody in this age don't allow Jesus to be full in their joy with his joy, that will be a scripture that Satan will stand before the throne and said, nobody in Happy Valley fulfilled that word. I made Laodicea so dark and so dense, nobody allowed that joy to be in their heart. But I want to call him a liar right here this morning and say, I'm going to be one of them. What about it? I'm going to be one of them. And how will it be? Grace. How will I do all the rest of this? Grace. Brother Donnie, it ain't no wonder that people get so sad. You tell them so much they got to do and so much they got to do. Don't you understand freedom? I do understand freedom. I think. The children of Israel had been in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. And God set them free. And no sooner than they got out of the land of Egypt, they come up on Mount Sinai and God started giving them all this whole list of do's and don'ts. Under freedom. People don't understand freedom. They think freedom is saying do whatever they want to do and do this and that and the other. You're not even free if you're living for the devil. That's right. Oh my. I do this because I'm free. These are not legalistic things for me. These are not do's and don'ts for me. This is what I need to do to get ready. Let's sing it together as we go. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God bless you. I'll see you Wednesday night. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Go in the fear of God, saints. I love you. Oh, praise God. Praise God.